Hello, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and I'm live now on the phone tonight. And the reason I apologize for that is we've been in deep in the heart of a snowstorm. Today's the first day we could dig out a little bit. We got another 12 or 14 inches coming tomorrow here in Oklahoma, and we're not used to that kind of weather. So it's been a little spread around, but I want to get back to the MUFON story. You heard Clifford Cliff there and his explanations of everything. In a minute, we're going to give some equal time to a couple of state directors. And basically, we will be striving to give equal time to all of these people as we can. As you know, we are great believers in that. So we'll have Leslie Vanical on the top of the hour. She's the Colorado MUFON director. She was there for 41 years before this flap happened. But I need to get into some of the details that have occurred since we talked to Clifford Cliff. James Carrion, the former international director, is going to be doing an interview with me later tonight. And we'll be presenting it on our website, jerrypippin.com, sometime tomorrow night, since we get it all turned around. And James is the one that brought all of this to the front with his blogs, his postings, and his most interesting one is the latest. And I guess I need to bring everybody up to date what we're talking about. In addition to the five state directors have been replaced or changed hands or ever how you want to phrase it, we have had a big, and I'm talking about B-I-G as in capital letters, flap over the idea that MUFON would enter into an agreement with Robert Bigelow out in Las Vegas with a company called BAAS, which he has. And it's no secret that they did have it. James Carrion actually is the one who signed the contract. And it was in effect until January 31st of 2010. Now, this is 2011, so it's been over a year ago. And there are a couple of things about this contract we need to talk about. First of all, there was a non-disclosure angle. And according to my sources, in fact, Clifford Cliff, off the record, told me I should talk to Bigelow and see if they could get that list lifted so everybody could talk about it. I tried to get James Carrion earlier to talk about it, and he said he couldn't because of the non-disclosure. But since then, we've worked out an arrangement with James that he feels he can talk about it. And we'll basically, here's what he's going to say. He feels that there's a mole in the organization. Now, that's right, a mole as in a secret agent or agent provocateur or however how you want to phrase it. Now, is this really a secret agent with one of the alphabet agencies of the United States government? Well, Carrion seems to feel that way in one of his posts. He named the United States Air Force Office of Special Investigations. This is the same organization that was involved in with Rick Doty in driving a scientist completely mad, and he committed suicide. And so they are well known for dirty tricks. Now, some evidence to give some credence to what Carrion is saying is the fact that this contract, where everyone had a non-disclosure, has been leaked on the Internet. Now, this is not, I am told, the real true contract, but it's very close to it. And as far as we can tell, and all this information we get are from our trusted sources, but they are also sources that we trust, but they can't definitely say yes or no. In fact, I very seldom get cross with people, but I did get cross with James Carrion because he brought up the non-disclosure and wouldn't talk. And finally, we got over that, and he is going to give me an interview. But here's what that contract involved. First of all, it only lasted for 5 months at the full terms of the contract, but it did last the entire year. The full terms of the contract was that MUFON would get $56,000 a month from BASS, which is a limited partnership, according to the contract, and I imagine it probably is. Could be a corporation. I believe it's a limited partnership, LLC. And basically, $56,000 for what? BASS would have the right to go immediately when a sighting or a landing or trace evidence or something like that was found by MUFON any place in the country or around the world, really. And they did investigate several with rapid response. And now, Bigelow, if you don't know about it, has been very active in private enterprise for space scientists and the space station, space travel. He's even trying to get a company going where they will be selling people tickets to fly into space. Now, Bigelow paid MUFON $56,000 for the first 5 months. In the latest blog, Carrion says that it's somewhat like an employer giving you a paycheck and then he finds out you only spend half of it, so he cuts your salary in half. Now, as far as I can tell, this is the whole problem and the reason Carrion went public is because the board wanted to continue even though Carrion did not, when Bigelow said, you're not spending all the money, so we're going to cut the contract in half, basically, and they did. So instead of the $600,000+, I think they ended up, MUFON got a little over $300,000. Now, there were some rumors about Carrion maybe had committed fraud or something like that. That's totally untrue. MUFON did owe him $12,000 for paying out of his own pocket part of the expenses for the MUFON convention in San Jose. That has been resolved, and Carrion has been paid. As far as we can tell, now MUFON has their own rapid engagement force headed by a woman by the name of Chase out of Tennessee. And if you listen to the interview we did with Clifford just a second ago, he talked about her and what she's doing. Now tonight, for the next hour, we are going to basically concentrate on the other part of the story, and that is people who've served MUFON for 25, 40, 41 years, I believe, as our guest, actually worked with MUFON, and we're going to bring her on here in just a minute, and we're talking about the Colorado State Director, or was, Leslie Vanagle. And we're going to give her a chance to talk about her side of the story, because we gave Clifford, Cliff, his chance, and you just heard that interview. And so I think we'll be talking to Leslie here in a moment, and when she's ready, we'll bring her on. And she, of course, has some things she wants to say, and we're going to give, in the interest of fair play, we're going to give her a chance to say it. And when we're talking about some of these things, they're involved, basically, no one likes to be replaced or fired or whatever how you want to term it, especially if you've been dedicated. And so we will talk about this. There seems to be a lot of friction going on, and it appears to me that James Carrion may be right that somebody's trying to NICAP MUFON. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, NICAP in 1980 finally disbanded after much ridicule and lots of talk, because it came out that there were certain CIA members that were active in NICAP. Now, as far as MUFON is concerned, I do know that basically they have had military people in the background. In fact, Chase, the rapid response, the response person, she was in working with the military. And even James Carrion and Clifford Cliff, at one time, both were the National Security Agency of the U.S. Army. But it was sometimes back. Now, what is exactly happening in that area, we're still investigating, and we'll still be talking about it for some time. Our next step here is basically to get the state directors on the air and let them get their side of the story, the ones that were dismissed. Now, in fairness, not all state directors and not all people at MUFON are disenchanted. Many are quite happy. But there is when you replace four or five here in a short period of time, people want to know what's going on with MUFON. And so we'll try to find out more about that. We have been urged to talk to Robert Bigelow. I know he, by the way, is going to be on Coast to Coast with George Knapp at the end of the month. That's been booked for some time. And it'd be interesting to see if he wants to talk about this. We are making overtures to him as well. It's not easy to set up these interviews with some of these people, but we certainly are going to continue to go after it. And next Monday night on Inception Radio, we, of course, will have a two-hour follow-up to move on and exactly what's going on. Is it going to disband? Is it or whatever? So that's where we are here tonight, and I thought it'd be a good idea to talk to the state directors. Now, we'll take the phone calls, and if you'd like to call in and make a statement or ask a question or whatever, you're welcome to. The phone lines are open. Here's the number, 941-548-4291. That's 941-548-4291. We have been getting lots of emails. And basically, just as many of these emails are one of two things: that they think MUFON's no good, or there seems to be quite a few emails I'm getting here that are saying, "Well, MUFON believes in ETs and UFOs, and so they're not being neutral and they're not being scientific." That also seems to be some of the discussion. In fairness to the people who work for MUFON, and you hear these stories over and over and over, you're basically just like talk show host, you kind of come to a conclusion that there may be something to all of this after all. So we'd like to have your comments. You have any questions? 941-548-4291.
You ready for Leslie?
And I think we're ready with Leslie Vanicle. How are you?
I'm calling her right now. She should be on here in a second.
Okay, we're going to be calling her. And we'll find out what's happening. And as I say, you're welcome to call in the conversation, 941-548. Hi, is this Leslie? Hi, this is Jerry Pippin.
Oh, hey, well, I gave you the other number to call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just happened to, you were lucky I heard this, because it only rings in one room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I think we have more than one person involved here, and maybe I just didn't get the right number. You want me to call the other number, or can you talk on this number?
No, I'm okay on this number. Let me just get over here. Hold on for a second.
Okay.
Okay, Jerry, you got me?
Yeah. Sound better there now.
Hold on a second now. All right, I switched over to a hands-free headset here.
Okay, well, we appreciate you coming on the air with us, and you were with MUFON, what, 41 years?
Yeah, I started back in 1970. If I'd have found out about them in 1969, I'd have joined then.
Yeah.
So I joined in 1970.
Have you always lived in Colorado?
No, I actually lived in Pennsylvania, and then started moving around the country a little bit, and settled here in Colorado. About, oh my, 30 years ago now, something like that. I can't remember. Time goes fast.
Reason I called you, I wanted to find out a little bit about you and about everything, but I wanted to give you an opportunity to respond to a Clifford Cliff and the thing. We just did an interview of him, and I thought it would be fair to bring you on.
Okay, well, thank you. I do appreciate that. I did listen to the interview. And one of the things, as I had emailed you, Jerry, is one of the things that, that Cliff had mentioned was my management style. Well, I'm an old gal. I've been around a long time. I've managed a lot of people. As a matter of fact, I had a large number of direct reports scattered across this country. And I was very confused by that statement, because I know, having taken college management, you know, management type courses, and of course management courses that are supplied by your employer, when I would stray a little bit, it was customary to at least, you know, give you a call or drop by your office, and then the day before email, you know, say, like, hey, can we talk? And let me know where I'm straying wrong. And I always appreciated that, because sometimes you, not sometimes, lots of times you go wrong. Everybody, I believe, has done it in their life. If they haven't, they're sure going to. And what surprised me is there was never anything like that. It's like, can we talk to you? Can I talk to you? There wasn't an email. There wasn't a phone call. There was just nothing. And then I hear my management style. One of the other things I hear is opinions. Well, I think we all have opinions. And that's another puzzlement to me. It's like, if I have opinions, why not contact me and say, hey, you know, what you're talking, what you're saying, here's really the side, and, you know, here's the rest of the story. So now do you understand, and now does that change your opinion? As has always happened to me in my life, it's like, oh, I didn't understand that. There were no calls. There were no emails. There was no contact. A certified letter was sent and said, you, as a lifetime benefactor, are no longer... You are just now considered a subscriber in MUFON.
So you had no clue that was coming?
None whatsoever, Jerry. None.
When did this happen? When did you?
Well, just let me think. It would have been, the letter arrived on the 1st, and
January.
February. I'm sorry. February.
February.
Yeah.
It just happened.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, I knew that there were other people, and I saw explanations, and I've talked to people, and, you know, that, and it's like, okay, well, I can see, but why in my case, and in the case of others, but let's just pick me, why wasn't the courtesy extended of an email, hey, can we talk, a phone call, look, you know, we need to talk? There was nothing. Now, when I managed people, one of the things that you learn when you take management courses is, if you have someone who is straying a little bit, you talk with them, you work with them, you help find out what the problems are. If they need tools, and the tools can be anything from more training, more knowledge, just a general talk, you give that to them, and you work with them. If after you work with them for a period of time, well, then the inevitable happens, which I've had to do many times in my life. You know, I've had to bring people in and say, I'm sorry. You're fired. We tried. But the key words were there, we tried.
Now, Clifford Cliff is going to be there on the 12th, this Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, he's going to be... No, I'm not going to go because...
You're not going, okay.
Why would I go?
Well, a good point. You're no longer a member, huh?
Well, I'm just a subscriber.
Okay.
My status has been dropped to subscriber.
You subscribe to their newsletter.
I subscribe to the journal.
Yeah.
Yes. That's all. I'm just considered a subscriber. No longer a field investigator, you know, no longer a state director, which for the past decade was a position I had run as state director. Field director for all the 41 years. During the years BI, before Internet, I was the net control station. I took it over from an elderly gentleman who had asked me to take it over in the 70s as he wanted to retire using the ham radio. Back then, we didn't have any way to get UFO reports around the country in a timely fashion other than telephone, which was expensive. Regular mail, which was slow. So we would relay the messages by ham radio. And a net control station is the person that would make sure that all of the stations were there, could handle each other, if not have stations relay for the other station. The bottom line was that the information would get to Walt Enders and Seguin in Texas in a timely fashion for the air, within a week rather than weeks or months, or maybe never. And I did that job for a number of years, and I only gave it up once I was permanently moved here to Colorado and it became impossible to have a commanding signal that would, cover the country by radio so that I could bring all the hams together, as we would do. And, of course, when the Internet came into being, that mode of passing the information, of course, went away. Yeah, just like the buggy whips went away.
So this just came out of the blue.
Yes.
No clue that anybody was unhappy with you?
I sure did not.
Okay.
And that's the other thing, too. I mean, I've heard that people were very unhappy with me. And, well, okay, again, if a worker for one of the field managers that I had was unhappy with that manager, I would find out what's going on, how come and why, and then try to work on a solution. Again, if you have a team, and especially if you have experienced people, you want to work with them and keep them because they're a viable asset.
Yeah, Leslie, have you been investigating any unusual cases in the last year? Something that's different?
No, the cases that we've been getting are predominantly lights in the sky cases.
Uh-huh.
And there have been a number of cases, Jerry, which have been very suspicious in nature. What do you mean by that? Well, by that I got on a couple of occasions, but when you get a notification of a message, you get it in your email in text form. So any photos or any drawings of that are not included. It's just the text, but it's all the information, witness description, and everything is there. Then you log into the database, look at that case-by-case number, and then make the decision for the field investigator or field investigators to assign to it. On a number of occasions, these cases look really, really good. Perhaps a potential abduction, maybe even a landing trace or something. Something more substantial than lights in the sky. I would go into the database the case would not show, I would get hold of an administrator who administrates the database and say, well, and one of the excuses that I got a number of times is, well, the case was removed because of language. I said, excuse me, I'm looking at the case here. I don't see any language that is offensive to anybody. I see where they put their name where they shouldn't have. Well, that's easy to be redacted out. But I don't see any offensive language. Where's that case? I have people that can work on it. Well, it's going to go to the STAR team. Okay, but your people can't, because when it goes to STAR team, it's non-disclosure. Nobody dare know about it. It will never see the light of day. Now, the mission statement of MUFON is to benefit for all mankind, investigations and research. If you immediately cover stuff up and say, no, you can't come on site, i.e. me as a state director. I don't care that it's your field investigator is just 2 miles down the road. That person cannot be there. It can only go to the STAR team people, and it's not going to be where the information can be available.
Now, are you talking about the present STAR team people you have or the Bigelow people?
Both.
Okay, didn't change. Did you have any experience with Bigelow? The STAR team, his investigators? The reason I ask you, I've had several people say that they were kind of pushy when they called.
Yes. Yes, but I can push back.
And maybe they need a little lesson in public relations. Basically, what I'm getting at here is, do you think this could be something that's behind why you were dismissed? I mean, it just seems out of the blue. This is kind of strange.
Jerry, I do think so. I really do think so, because I've been around a lot.
Now, Clifford Cliff just told me that he has nothing to do with Bigelow at this point.
But then I'm hearing other things, too, whether it's with Bigelow or some other entity.
Well, he says there's some other entity. I mean, that lady named Chase is out of that, I guess, from Tennessee.
I don't know. What I'm saying is some other entity. My questions are,
I know something like this and the state director didn't know?
Well, could be, but my questions are, why do we have the secrecy?
Yeah.
Why do people have to sign non-disclosures that they can never, ever talk about the things that they
need to do? I want to be really clear to our audience. Who's signing who's asking for a non-disclosure?
This is being asked for by MUFON if you basically are a STAR team member.
If you're a STAR team member, you can't talk to us, to the press?
I can't talk to you about that thing that just went down in your backyard, Jerry.
And that's a MUFON arrangement.
That's the paperwork that comes out from MUFON via Chase and Marilyn and Cliff and however the hierarchy goes there.
And how long have they had a non-disclosure?
Well, this has gone on for the better part of a year, that this has been pushed fairly hard toward people who want to be on this elite STAR team. And I can see some need for keeping some things. Well, we always have a confidentiality in other words, Jerry, if Jerry has a sighting, whether it's lights in the sky or the craft lands in your backyard and you got a net over it, we're never going to say Jerry's place. That information, all confidentiality like that, is kept to protect you.
I've run across that before in trying to get
students. But it is available to researchers and that who know that it's confidentiality agreements there, too.
Yeah, and I'm not happy with that, by the way.
Well, it, you know,
but they know that. Everybody's known that for a long time. I've had many run-ins over that.
Right. Well, but then again, you know,
we don't need any secrets.
No, but you know, there are
now,
some people.
Now, why protect somebody? I mean, what are they hiding? I mean, but that's beside the point. So, but you have had confidentiality agreements.
Confidentiality.
This is a non-disclosure agreement.
Correct.
Who's involved in the non-disclosure agreement? The STAR team member, or you, or the person they're reporting to, do they have to sign a non-disclosure?
Well, all I know is that...
I know, they won't even let you in on it, right?
Right. I don't know. I mean, all I know is to be on the STAR team, you signed this non-disclosure agreement. That's it. Now, who wants that, where they want it, I don't know. I can believe in confidentiality because... You know, maybe Jerry doesn't mind that his name is used because there's a crap.
Yeah, I understand a lot of people wouldn't report things because they don't want to be...
Right.
Jerry.
We have the confidentiality.
I understand the reason behind it.
Right.
I just don't necessarily agree with it, but that's... I understand the reason.
But the information is... The thing is, that information is available. It's not available to the general public, but it would be available to Jerry, the researcher.
Jerry, we have a caller. I believe
okay,
it's
now,
state section.
Okay, I'm just a little foggy on this yet, Leslie. So let's go over this.
Sure.
Jerry Pippin gets a call from a friend, and he says to me, "You wouldn't believe it, but there's a 3.5-foot ET out here." Okay, I call you, MUFON. I know you, and tell you about it. Okay, you get the rapid response team or whoever's out there, or you or whoever goes out there. When does the non-disclosure come in? Who's not disclosing something? I mean, is it...
Okay, the way that this would work here is Jerry, you would put the report into MUFON. All of these cases are now pre-filtered before they can even get to the state director's level. So, in a case like that your friend... says that there's a 3-foot ET in his backyard right now, chances are I will never see that case to assign it to a field investigator. That will be immediately channeled over to this STAR team, who then at that point, as far as I'm concerned, it goes black.
Well, originally, before going any further, that new website that James designed, it was in real time. It's not that way anymore.
Well,
you know, when you report the sightings?
It's a little bit of a delay, but before, it would come directly to me. So I could look at that and say, okay, Jerry says his friend, you know, this address, has a ET in the backyard. I'd see who the closest field investigator was, and if that person had the qualifications to handle it, I would assign that person. If not, I'd find the person with the best qualifications closest. That's the way I would work it here in Colorado. And then assign the guy that's closest to you as his backup secondary. So, you know, number one is teaching
number
two.
So now it goes straight to MUFON headquarters. And
now it goes into MUFON, and it gets reviewed by someone. A dispatcher is what they call the person, and then if it's that type of a case that you described, it would never see the light of day at the state level.
Jerry, we have a caller on the line. I believe it's State Section Director. You there?
Yes. Who do we have?
Speak up, Morgan.
Who is this?
This is, I'd rather not get involved.
Okay,
in
okay, go ahead.
I don't know enough about...
Okay, do you have a question?
Well, I actually have a lot of insight about the STAR team and how it operates. I know it's from people from the outside, it seems dark and mysterious, and, you know, especially to media types, it's sometimes, I guess you would say, I don't know, like we're trying to hide or hide information or whatnot, but... be honest with you, a lot of what we do in the star team, we have to be able to finish and complete our work without being inundated both by media types and outside influences. And one of the primary purposes for that is because, and I'm privy to this because it's happened to me on several occasions, that third parties, media types, and personal investigators like writers and well-known book writers and people get involved in these cases immediately sometimes, and they can cause all sorts of damage to evidence and witness testimonies. And a few examples I'm sure you are aware of, but it can happen, especially in high-profile cases, and a lot more so in cases that actually have physical evidence. So the difference between the two programs, there are two different programs. The STAR team now is different than before. It's ran differently. It involves the state section directors intimately. They know exactly what's going on in their states as far as STAR team investigations. And one of the big reasons why we don't, necessarily come out right away and tell everybody is because one of the biggest issues is everybody usually gets the story wrong the first time around. And not on purpose, it's mistakes, but we try to avoid those mistakes. And I think a good example is a recent case here in Florida where the photos were released prematurely by a media source with a description. Well, the photos that they released were photos unrelated to the initial reported sighting, and so the sighting and what they reported on initially to the public had nothing to do with one another, and so people were wondering why the description and what was written about in the article was different than the photos. And so it already started to snowball, I should say, as far as getting the story wrong. And unfortunately, with science and I have a strong science background, it takes a while. It takes, a couple months to get cases solid, to look at all the facts, and then to report it. And I think people are going to see a big change in the new program as far as the information being disseminated and talked about openly. And I can tell you from, recently, there's been a lot of people down here in Florida that have been privy to cases that we've already worked on because I was given permission to, be able to share that information about those cases.
Leslie, do you have any comments about that?
Well, I have no comments other than the fact that, I have been very well aware that if the news media gets hold of something, it's very difficult to keep it under wraps. We've had some cattle mutilation cases in Colorado where, beyond the control of MUFON, the person, who reported it to the sheriff, and the sheriff reported it out. So those were cases there where it was harder to control the situation, but the field investigators who were handling it, and this is pre-STAR time, were able to handle it and keep it well contained. Now, there is the issue where a field investigator should not be opening up the information to the media until this is actually an investigation has taken place. And if there's any analysis to be made, analysis have been made, et cetera, et cetera. And the information then would be available at a later date.
Okay, caller, are you there?
Yes.
Are you still active on the STAR team?
Absolutely.
And you're in Florida. Do you guys have a setup in regions, or how do you guys react fast?
Yeah, it's no different than before. It's basically regions, state coordinators working with the state directors. Investigators in each state. So, I mean, it's no different than before, really. It's a little bit more organized because, you got to understand, I mean, in a sense, MUFON is a very large organization, and it's going to make mistakes, but it's just part of growth, and I think I think a lot of the stuff now that you're starting to see will be a lot more, I guess, effective as far as communicating a lot of the information to the public. And
okay, well, if I appreciate your call.
Go ahead.
I appreciate your call, the caller. And any closing comments for I need to move on here. I appreciate your insight.
Yeah, I mean, with her, you know, with the, you know, aggravation of not being told or whatnot, it's necessary, and I hope people get that, you know, that.
Of course, I quibble with both of you on that.
Yeah,
I don't think anything needs to be secret ever, but that's my opinion, because I'm a member of the press.
Yeah, no, I know, but the problem is,
what the hell's a big secret? Why are we hiding things?
There's no sense.
Well, yeah, you are. Both of you are. Both of you seem to agree to that.
And I'm telling you, I'll tell you right now that if I were to go on a case and immediately tell you exactly what's going on, and then you get on this radio show and you start reporting it, you're going to
cause
damage.
And what's the secret?
Damage to the case.
What's the secret? You don't need a secret. You guys don't need one. You guys don't. Thanks, both of you. I've got to go move on. I got another guest. But, Leslie, what do you want out of this deal?
Well,
what do you
really
want to happen?
There's nothing that I can make happen out of this deal. I've already been dismissed as state director, and that's pretty much it. It's the end of the road for me. I mean, 41 years with MUFON, a lot of field work, a lot of personal time, energy, and money invested. It's the end of the road for me. I think what I want to see is that it opens up and becomes an organization that doesn't have secrets, doesn't hold secrets from people, doesn't tell a state director that shows up on the scene of a star team to get off of the scene, to get away, get out of here. Because that has happened. And that's not how it should be. There shouldn't, as you say, I don't believe in secrets either. We cooperated when we had those mutilations down here. We worked with the media, and the media worked with us. It became a very good partnership. A lot of information came out, and which was very good. It could be damaging if people just go in there like a bull in a china shop. But fortunately, it was handled very well by experienced people the whole way around, including experienced media people. So what do I want? I want MUFON to become open, truthful, and honest with everyone about everything. Let's stop the secrecy. We don't need secrecy. Let the government keep secrets, but MUFON is here for the public to
well,
give the
I
public.
The government needs to keep many of them. This WikiLeaks thing is all about exposing mistakes and stupidity rather than keeping state secrets. Thanks very much, Leslie. We'll be back in contact.
Well, thank you very much, Jerry.
Okay, bye. We're going to get a hold of Marilyn Carlson next. And let's see, she's the state director of Oklahoma, and she quit. She wasn't replaced. She was suspended. And Clark Clifford, or Clifford Cliff, I'm sorry, gave me a very good explanation about her right off the bat in the show that we just heard the interview. And I think it's only fair we give Marilyn a chance to talk. So Jamie is going to call her right now, and we'll find out what Marilyn thinks. And once again, we encourage people to call. Hi, is this Marilyn?
Yes.
It's Jerry Pippin. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I was just telling our listeners here they can call at 941-548-4291 if they'd like to get in the conversation, if they have something to say. Marilyn, in the interest of fair play, I want to give you a chance to tell your side of the story and talk about anything you want to here.
Okay.
But basically, I guess you've heard Clifford's interview by now, so.
Yes, I have.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and so if you want to, and by the way, I've followed you for a while, but I've never had a chance to meet you, and we're in the same state, so shame on me.
Well, you were always welcome to come to the meetings, so...
Well, I talked to Grant when he went by. He enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
And you've had some pretty interesting people.
Yes, we've had some great speakers and really enjoyed Grant Cameron when he was here. Learned a lot from him.
Got you got several fan letters to me today, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, okay, so it's your turn to talk and give your side of the story, and then we can talk a little bit. But first of all, even before we get to that, how long have you been interested in UFOs? I know you went up to Area 51 recently.
I did. Well, I've been actively involved with UFOs since about 1993, somewhere in that time frame. An experience brought me to it, and then but I was kind of interested in UFOs before that. Even as a teenager, I was interested in UFOs.
Your experience, did it involve a sighting or a close encounter?
A close encounter. Yes.
There in Oklahoma?
No, it happened in Mississippi.
Okay. Well, we may get back and talk about that a little bit, but we need to talk about you and MUFON. So you joined MUFON in 93 or when?
No, I joined MUFON actually in 2004, maybe, after I moved here to Oklahoma. I did some things with MUFON, but as a non-member, and then I worked with some people that were quite active with MUFON.
They made you state director pretty fast then.
I am the type of person that I like being active and involve myself immediately with MUFON, and I took over after Chuck Pine was state director. He became just so busy, he had a hard time keeping up and doing, he had too many irons in the fire, I think, and so he selected me to be his state director and take over, and that's how I got there. So
now, do you have any comments about what Clifford said?
I sent you an email yesterday in regards to that, and I just kind of felt like he wasn't really telling the whole story. And that it was kind of halfway there. I actually only had a problem with one individual as a member, and it began back in October of 2010. She applied to be a STAR team member, and she was declined.
And you turned her down, I think.
Well, it wasn't all just my choice. It was also Chase Klutzke's choice.
Well, the reason I brought that up, Marilyn, first of all, before we even get into it, is that it seems to me that it's kind of strange that the state director gets a say-so in who becomes a STAR team member, yet the STAR team members don't. In other words, you're not entitled to know everything as state director.
No, I'm not.
That's kind of a strange rule.
Well, it is, and state directors just don't have the choice that they used to have. It seems like some of their rights have been taken away from them, and as you know, 8 state directors have either stepped down or they've been asked to leave in probably the last 8 or 9 months, and I think MUFON really needs to take a look at where or why this is the case, and
they put you on some sort of investigation or suspension.
Did. Yes, they did.
You resigned because of that, which I can understand.
Yes, I did. Actually, I was under investigation for 3 months until right after the first of the year, and then I sort of pressed the issue. And that is the very first time that I got a call from headquarters. The person who was investigating me was Tom Sheets. He would not talk to me by phone. He would not talk to me via Skype. only emails, and I asked him if we could do Skype. It would be easier for me because I have a disorder that's called essential tremor. It's real hard for me to type long emails and answer those 14 allegations that that woman had placed against me. And we ended up, my husband typed in my answers for me and answered them, but that, and that's how they got around it. But he refused to talk to me personally. And then I finally got a call from Clifford Clift after I insisted that the woman be removed from CMS and as a field investigator. And the day after I talked to Clifford, Marie Malzahn sent me the suspension letter, and then I discovered that my assistant state director got a suspension letter, and I did not know it until just in the last week or two that one of my field investigators also had a suspension notice.
And what was their suspension letters about?
Well, his was about, we didn't know. For 2 weeks we didn't know, and then he finally got a call from an investigator. At least he got a phone call from to discuss why he was under investigation. But it was about somebody that he didn't quite understand. He was riding in the car, and it was noisy, and the man called him and talked to him about an investigation, and he wanted to investigate something, a sighting, and somebody had come to him, and he thought he was another field investigator. And he says, yeah, okay, go ahead and investigate it. Well, it turns out he was the man that submitted the report. Yes, he investigated it, but John didn't realize that he wasn't a member of MUFON. And so, you know, when I found out what he'd done, he says, well, you know, Marilyn called me on it and put me on the carpet for it, said, you can't do that. And I let it go, but this woman reported that. And then he was also reported as having maybe used password for CMS. And then the field investigator actually did tell someone in our group who was studying to become a field investigator that he would let him look at CMS and he would share his password. Well, the next day, he thought about it, and he sent him an email and says, no, I'm sorry, I really can't do that. And the woman knew that. She knew because she emailed the field investigator and said, don't do that. I mean, she was kind of poking her nose where it didn't belong. But he emailed her back, and he says, well, I already told him that I decided I wasn't going to do it. But she still reported to headquarters that he had done it. There was just a series of things here with this woman, and
has this woman been is she still active, or has she been suspended?
No, she's been actually terminated. It's more than suspension.
Okay.
But it was 22 pages that she sent to headquarters.
But she's no longer there because they terminated her.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, now have they named a new state director, or do you know?
Yes, they have. It's Chuck Pine, and I will say this, that when Clifford said that Chuck is moving right along, I beg to differ, because Chuck was named right after I received the suspension notice, which was first week in January. He has yet to notify any of the MUFON members that he is now state director, nor has he called a meeting. So I keep getting emails from people saying, what's going on? And, you know, I just tell them Chuck Pine is the same.
Now you've joined another organization?
Yes. I've become a member of Epic Voyagers, and Ken Cherry had nothing to do with my decision to leave MUFON. I went to Ken Cherry after I made that decision. I said, you know, I think I'd like to participate.
What kind of guy is Ken Cherry?
Well, I like Ken. He's
okay. Well, I'm a little upset with him over the no press allowed deal down there in the Stephenville thing. I don't really put up with that in a lot of places, but that unit got to understand where I come from. I'm a member of the press.
I understand that, and I knew the moment he had made the announcement that it was going to create a hullabaloo, and I expected someone to come in and
see that I have the same problem with this non-disclosure BS that everybody's putting in every contract.
Yes, yes.
And, I mean, what are we hiding from people here? Well, I think we're supposed to be out here acquainting people with the problems and the sightings and what we're finding.
Well,
they're managing it.
Well, what seems to be happening, and I've noticed it in CMS, is that the really big sightings and cases are not appearing in CMS. I think they're still being pulled from CMS before they ever get to the state directors. All we're getting right now is lights in the sky. And I assume, I don't know this for sure, but I assume that it's going to the STAR team.
Now, you, when you talk about this, you're talking about people report these things on the website at MUFON?
Yes, exactly. That's where
and
it goes.
And then they're assigned to whomever.
Right. MUFON has a...
and it does... And this is probably the one thing I know several state directors or have been state directors. Seems to be a sore point that there might be, you know, they're not telling everybody everything.
They're not. They're not. And the real obvious thing about that is the contract with Bigelow, even though supposedly Bigelow still is not any longer involved with MUFON. They basically sold the MUFON members a bill of goods with that, and everything, virtually everything, was turned over that was in CMS. All of their old files were turned over to him, everything.
Well, I understand that's a sore point. Did you ever have any contact with the Bigelow people when they were investigating?
Well,
it
happened right here in Oklahoma, actually. We had a sighting, and it was more than a sighting, it was a landing, in Buffalo.
And where Buffalo is.
Buffalo
is up in the northwest part of the state.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh. Up by the Panhandle.
In fact,
I just happened to be on the phone with somebody else inquiring about CMS. I was having difficulty with it. And he says, oh, I see the STAR team is in your state right now. And I said, what? Does our state director know this? And he says, oh, I'm sure he does. I says, okay, well, gee, if there's anything I can do to help out, let me know. And he goes, oh, no, you stay out of this. And then I phoned Chuck Pine. He was state director at that time. And he says, no, they never notified me. So they came into our state without any notification to the state director and investigated it. And then when I spoke with the witnesses later, Bigelow's entire team came out. And they weren't very... they didn't make the witnesses very happy. They were kind of crude with them. So it was... the whole thing was just a big mess. And so...
Bigelow's out of it in this new group, which I guess is MUFON originated.
Mm-hmm, right.
Have you had any experience with them? Have they been around?
No. I spoke with Chase Klutsky about the procedures and how it was set up, and I felt really happy about how that was set up, and that it was involving the state directors, and we had a choice of what field investigators we wanted to come in and investigate. And
In the interview, Clifford said you were using hypnotism. Are you a hypnotherapist?
I'm a clinical hypnotherapist and have been since 1993. I spent a year at St. John's University studying hypnosis, and then got my certification from the National Guild of Hypnotists. I have worked with abductees many, many times, and you know, whenever...
I mean, is that against the bylaws?
Well, no, it's not. But they started a group and they wanted to be in control of, if there's any hypnotherapist in the group, it had to be under the guidance of Clifford Clift. And I took exception to that because Clifford Clift, for one thing, is not a clinical hypnotherapist. And I'm a well-experienced hypnotherapist. I've never hypnotized anybody in the group, but yet they all knew I was a hypnotherapist because when we introduce ourselves in the group, I say, this is what I do.
You said earlier that you had an experience. Was that an abduction experience in Mississippi?
Yes.
Or do you want to talk about it?
You know, I would like to talk about it, but I'm reluctant to talk about it because the girl that had the experience with me, let me put it this way, the cause of death is unknown. And
so there was a tragedy involved.
Yes. And she had a lot of experiences, and then I ended up having experiences along with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I have full memory of some things, and some things I do not. I only have partial memory, but enough to know that about what's really going on.
This new group with Ken Cherry, that you're part of, what's her objective? Are you going to become competitors of MUFON, or?
Well,
you think
I don't know. That
we're replacing something.
I don't know.
I guess what I'm asking, Marilyn, is what's next for you?
Well, what's next for me is EPIC, and we've already got a small group here in Oklahoma, and we're under Ken Cherry, who has a couple areas that are meeting, and most of our meetings are going to be run by live streaming. Ken makes the arrangements for the speakers to come in. We put them on live streaming, and then people can meet, or we meet up in Tulsa, and watch the speaker. And on live streaming. So, and there are a lot of people that are taking a huge interest in this. They can watch it from their computer at home. They don't actually have to be at the meeting unless they choose to come and as camaraderie with others. And we're gonna touch on every subject from UFOs to abductions to we want to talk about remote viewing. We want to talk about conspiracies. We can talk about anything and everything that we can learn from, and so we wanted to branch out. We couldn't do that with MUFON. The subject was strictly the research of UFOs, and if we talked about anything other than that subject, you were discouraged to do it. Let's put it that way. So.
Okay, now, before we let you go, and our time's almost up, but a couple of things. I'm going to let you finish with what you want to say, and if I left something out or whatever. And the other thing, I got to find out what you did up at Area 51. You went up there in your RV, I hear.
Well, we actually stayed at a motel in Alamo. We flew into Vegas, took all of our night vision equipment, and... we set up out by the black mailbox, you know where the infamous black mailbox is. And we sat up there every night for a week. And we skywatched. And we saw some incredible things that we absolutely could not see with the naked eye. All across the whole Area 51 ridge. And
these incredible things, what do you think they were?
Well, there was this one light that came in. It was absolutely huge. It was just huge compared to the lights of the helicopters that were always up and around flying every night and the airplanes coming and going off the runway. You knew they were airplanes by the flashing. But this one light came in, and it came in from over, let's see, what's the name of that? The region.
Groom Lake?
Yeah, well, it came in over Groom Lake, but it came off from the right of us. It took 13 minutes to cross across the range, slowly moving, very slowly moving, and then it stopped, and it hovered, and then it moved a little more, stopped and hovered, and then
you
it hovered.
Did you get any interference from the federal government while you were there?
They came down the mountain. We could see them come with the night vision. We could see them coming down the mountain and onto the Groom Lake Road there. Mm-hmm. And I said, here they come. They're coming after us. We looked up and we couldn't see any headlights, which we should have seen. So we looked down at the night vision again. And we realized that they were coming towards us using their infrared. So they were trying to just get a little closer to
us. Now, what about MUFON? You think there's any infiltration from the federal government there?
Well, it's suspicious. I can't prove it, but it's very suspicious. And James Carrion has expressed as much. And there's people that are in the upper levels of MUFON now that only joined in 2008, and all of their backgrounds are federal law enforcement. So it just doesn't look right. I might be wrong, but it just kind of appears that way. So,
okay, you got any closing thoughts? We're about out of time. You want something else you want to say to the audience?
No, I think that's it. I really enjoyed working with MUFON and all the members that came to the meeting. I appreciate everything they did, and I love them all very much, and I just hope they continue on with MUFON, or if they choose, they can join up with EPIC. So, I think there's a lot.
So this experience hasn't soured you on the whole field?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I will always have a great interest in ufology. So.
Okay, well, Marilyn, our time's up. Thank you for being on, and I look forward to more emails from you. I guess Richard sends them.
Dick. Well, we both share the same email address,
yeah.
So it's under Richard. But yes, that's me. So.
Thank you very much.
All righty. Thanks. Bye bye.
And this has been our report on MUFON, a live show tonight. We'll have another show next Monday on Inception Radio, and it'll be more detailed and more of the players. I'm Jerry Pippin. Thanks for listening.